Hi there, everyone. It's James here with Vanna, and it's the It's Your Move podcast, and we are continuing to talk about expanding the garden in 2020.
That's correct.
How's it, Vanna?
Hello.
Vanna, obviously this week we started, well, we've been talking a little bit about what are some of the things that we want to improve and grow in as a church, and none of the things on the menu were new.
That's correct.
We signed up for those things when we became disciples, became members of the church, however you want to say it, but following Jesus involves following the scriptures, and I think last year was a really nice view into what that means generally with the idea of expanding the garden, that we are bearing his image into the world and we're expanding the garden. Base camp, did we talk about base camp last week?
We did, yeah. No, we did. We mentioned that obviously that the so-called HDR, I say so-called because it's an acronym, the Healthy Discipling Relationship, well, I still like the high definition relationship as well as the base camp. And mentioned it again this past Sunday on the ship, the ocean liner, where this is the engine room.
The
ocean liner is our outward appearance as a congregation.
Yes, that's right. And then we defined it last week as well, kind of talking about the loving and safe relationship aspect. And then there was the teaching and being held to account aspect. And that these are purposeful relationships. And also that this doesn't equal all of your spiritual friendships, but it's having someone that is devoted to you, that you are devoted to, and you have partnered up to help you grow.
Yes.
Essentially.
A dedicated relationship.
A dedicated relationship. Brilliant. Well, on Sunday, I guess part one of two, if I'm not mistaken, talking about what does a healthy discipling relationship look like? Because I think seeing the definition, there's lots of yes. So yes, safe, loving and safe relationship, and those things are important, and I want that. Do I want to grow? Do I know that I need accountability? Very easy to say yes, and now we're looking a little bit deeper and to say, okay, so what exactly does that mean practically? And I think what was a call from the lesson was also, let's also be honest about whether that's happening.
Yes, correct.
And so let's unpack some of those points if we can. Can we?
Yes, please do. And obviously, the hope would be that we have these conversations in our discipling relationships. In other words, to ask these questions in our discipling relationships. How do you feel like it's going with the consistency? Do you feel like I'm consistent? Not. How do you feel like it's going with ownership? Do you feel like I'm taking ownership? And how's the relationship going? Is there?
Yes.
Is there a sincere interest? Is there vulnerability? Is there investment?
Yes.
But to just have honest conversation, and I'm not talking about attacking or accusing. I'm talking about just having honest conversation and see how we can take it to the next level.
Very nice. Very nice. Consistency
beats intensity.
point number one, consistency, that a healthy discipling relationship has a consistency to it. I mean, it does remind me of something that happened last year where we were having conversations about discipling relationships, and I was thinking through the family groups that I'm a part of and involved in. And if you're listening and you are
one of those,
you might remember some of these conversations. But I remember looking at who is in these groups and what the discipling relationships were like in my mind on paper.
Yes.
And then I did a kind of a mental exercise to say, okay, how regular are they actually getting together? And I had for each relationship an impression based on just my own interpretation and conversations, what I thought was going on. Then I actually called everyone that we disciple, and I asked them, so, you know, how often, just not quality, just how often are you getting, how often do you agree to get together, and how often are you actually getting together? Mm. Be brutally honest, the last 3 months. And I don't think I was correct on one of them.
Yes.
Everyone that I was convinced was 2 weeks was 3 weeks to 4 weeks.
Yes.
Everyone that I thought was getting together every month actually hadn't seen each other in the last 2 months.
Sure.
I think it speaks to this point of consistency.
What it speaks to, in all honesty, is our pride. Because if we are humble and we realize the need for the things that we spoke of the previous week, the need for a mirror, the need that I'm supposed to be heading somewhere, the need that my heart is deceitful and beyond cure, and that it will be hard, and if I don't get encouragement or direction or help, I think it speaks to our pride, because this should be. I remember when I became a Christian, whatever many years ago. What is the date today? I think it's just been over 27 years now.
Wow, happy birthday.
Thank you. But I remember even counting the cost on these things, the importance of our walk with God and everything, and how you would determine your schedule. Now, it was a lot simpler back then as a campus student than what it is today, from just life and involvement. But it was very, very clear that my first and foremost responsibility is to have daily time with God. I set that in the schedule, and that is a non-negotiable.
Yes.
And then second and third on that was service. Church is church. It's not something you go to or you don't. This is what we do. And then included in that was a weekly discipling time. That's just what I do. Every week I get with my discipling partner and we talk. Talk about, I mean, sure, we'll do lots of, we'll do fun things, we'll climb a mountain, we'll do this, we'll do that. But it's a weekly catch-up processing time, how are things going? And that obviously changed through the years, from being a baby Christian to becoming an older Christian, or what that looked like, and the nature of those relationships also changed over time. But the point that I'm trying to make is that it was very clear for me, and I think for most around me and our generation, was we need this. It's not a box that you tick to say, I've ticked the box. But an awareness of the need to be helped. And you often see this in when we are doing Bible study with someone to help them know God, historically called the first principle studies or making disciples. If you don't get with a person on a weekly basis, you usually don't win. The gaps are too long, and you almost need to redo what you did before. So you do a Bible study, and then 3 weeks later, you maybe do a Bible study on the Word of God and the importance of it, and 3 weeks later, the person cannot even remember that you did it.
Yeah.
We are no different. We were those people.
Yeah.
We are now those people in a bit of a different way, but we still remain the people.
Yes, yes. So look, I mean, if I had to think of the common excuse, and I think bringing up pride is important because we also need to call it what it is. So the common excuse of, I know I have a discipling partner, I know I should get together with them, I want to get together with them, I believe in the principle, but, oh man, life's been so hectic, things are so busy, we just don't see each other that often. And how easy it is to use that kind of language to justify what's really going on, which you brought up now, a part of that would be pride.
Yes.
What else? What other kind of realities of the heart are preventing someone who on paper really wants this, but they actually they meet once a month, once every 6 weeks?
Well, in your list of things that you said there, I believe in this, I really want this, I don't believe that to be true. If you really want it, you will see it happen. And we all know that. The question is, what do you want? But we all have had busy schedules, and you can most probably attest to that, and then there's a group that flies in. And there's going to be some or the other concert. Are you going to be too busy to see it?
Yeah.
You are very busy, but you make it happen because you really want it. So yeah. I think the biggest thing is to be honest with myself and say, I don't really want it.
Yes.
Now I need to figure out, why don't I really want it?
Yeah.
Is it an idea of that I'm just deceived about my spiritual condition? I'm deceived by the fact that I don't know I actually need people in my life. Is it that I've historically been hurt maybe in a relationship and I've not worked through that?
Yeah.
That could be it. I mean, there could be multiple reasons, but the point is I need to work through it. You cannot, if we cease to have, and obviously we as a church have it in a very particular way with dedicated relationships and regularity, what have you, and the Bible doesn't command those structures per se. That's just what we've seen to be fruitful over time. And obviously people that are not in that, we have seen for the first time for me in all these years, we have seen throughout our fellowship of churches, people getting divorced, okay, that I'm not used to at all. I mean, in my early days, people in the church simply just didn't get divorced. And as I ask around those things to continue to see what can be learned from them, and I ask, hey, so were these people in a healthy discipling relationship? The answer would usually be one of the following: no, not at all. Or B, yes, they were on paper, but they never really met. That's the deal. And so I need to know that about myself. I need to know that this is not, we are not meant to do this by ourselves. And I think I'm speaking about it this Sunday. This is church. The conversation that you and I are having now is church. Obviously, we decided to record some of our conversations so that other people can sort of listen into it. But we have these conversations regularly. This is church. So cease to do this, and you cease to have church. And it would be like that ocean liner where one is the ocean liner will stop running, but eventually it will just dilapidate, fall apart over years because there's just nothing moving it forward. God designed it this way. I'm not saying he designed our structure, but he definitely designed the principle. And that's why I think there are so many one another passages.
And look, I mean, I think there will be some overlap, but I do think even us just talking about this point for the rest of the podcast, I do think it's chronic. There's a chronic gap in what I say I believe, what I think is important, what I would tell someone else. I would happily tell someone, man, you should meet regularly for discipling. It's important. But I don't, I don't, from the evidence of how often I'm getting together, I don't need it in the same way. I mean, you mentioned pride. Is there a kind of an arrogance around I'm doing okay?
Well, I would say, again, it could be one, I don't have all the answers. Two, my take on it would most probably be that somehow it's most likely always connected to pride in some way or the other. Because if I'm humble, if I'm pursuing humility, I know I cannot see myself. I know that my heart grows hard by itself. I should realize that I must be in these conversations where we deceive ourselves and what we believe. And it's not just in this, it's with many things. I've been in Bible studies where we're teaching someone, let's say, on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, and that a disciple of Jesus is a fisher of men. And there are people that have now, disciples, that have now joined me in the Bible study. Now, the person that we're studying the Bible with disagrees with us, okay, with no concrete biblical evidence to the contrary, but disagrees. Then you see these folks that are with me power up against this guy to try and convince him from the scriptures, and there's pretty much a lot of scriptures that you can use to do it. But then, and I've had this in a Bible study before, where the guy actually, the Bible study asked him, okay, so how are you guys doing with this? And then it was that, and so these guys will fight, tooth and nail for the principle. And I really do believe in the principle, but believing the principle doesn't mean I'm living the principle. And listen, I am certainly not claiming innocence in this. I think any of us can believe in good principles. I need to have good one-on-one time with my kids every week. I need to have a date night every week. But believing in the principle doesn't mean I'm living the principle.
So let me ask you another humility-related question, since you are the expert. So there might be person X who, if they had the opportunity possibly to be discipled by you, the church minister, someone that, you know, that they look up to, they would be like, oh man, that would be a great privilege. I'll be there every 2 weeks without fail. So there's this kind of sense that, if the right person disciples me, if I respect them enough, if I feel like I've got something to learn from them, then I'll be consistent. I'll have my notepad out. I'll be a great learner. However, you know, so-and-so who's discipling me, I've got lots of problems, but they've also got lots of problems. Kind of almost the sense that, you know, if Yoda disciples me, I'll be cool with all of this stuff. But,
Yoda?
Yoda.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Christian Yoda.
No, just checking.
But, there's a point that you made and helped me with it that rings true in my mind very loud at the moment, as I wrestle with my own pride, is that whole idea that, you know, God gives grace to the humble and opposes the proud, or vice versa. There's a funny kind of, obviously, pride element then, and God didn't make 1,000 Yodas. Mm. Even in Star Wars, there was only one Yoda.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I think that there's a funniness that we can get about what God is actually trying to do through one another relationships, that you don't need a Yoda. You need someone who's got your back, someone that you...
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Someone that you, you know, that you're building a relationship that, you know, that you are taking ownership of, that you are bringing your life to them in order to help and to counsel and to pray for. But it's, yeah, I think there's arguably the evidence of the inconsistency in many of the discipling relationships is a sign of that, not seeing it very clearly. Yeah, I don't know. There's something there.
There's definitely something. And I've been in those situations, and I'm sure people have been in those situations with me, where they feel like, do I really have to be discipled by you? I wish it could be someone else. And I remember through the years as well, where the good thing for me in all of this was learning to obviously navigate different relationships. But everyone has something to give. You can learn something from anyone. No matter who it is, there's something to learn if you want to learn. And so the question would once again be, am I a learner? And I remember once where I landed with a very good guy, he was most probably not the most thought through fit, if you may. But I came with my notepad and I asked my questions because I wanted to learn. And what I loved about this guy is he basically couldn't answer any of the questions that I asked him. But he would say, let me think about it. I'll get some advice. I'll get back to you. And he did. Yeah. And good for him. And that's how he learned.
Yeah.
And sometimes one needs those situations so that person can learn through that.
Yeah.
By not having the experience, and if he's humble enough, and even that attitude was worthwhile imitating.
Yes.
Meaning, even if it was just that, look at this guy, he is eager to learn, he wants to learn, he wants to grow, I want some of that spirit.
Yeah.
So that's one side. The other side is, let's say you and I are in a discipling relationship, you are my discipling partner, but you are always dropping the ball, you're canceling, you're not helpful, you're not holding me to account, you're not really teaching me anything. Then obviously number one is, now we touch on the ownership element, is I need to mention it to you, and not in an accusatory manner. I need to say, hey, James, how are you feeling about our discipling relationship? And you might actually surprise me just in that question, in terms of that there are things that you feel like it's impossible to teach me, or because I'm just so defensive or know it all, what have you. Or it might be you say so, and I say, listen, some concerns that I have is I feel like I need more training, or I need more accountability, or I need more relationship. Then we have a conversation and we talk. Isn't that what we do? We talk, and now we decide together what would be reasonable, what would be possible. There's so much in the mix. I mean, I think I shared this on Sunday at some point, that there's been situations. I have three kids and I'm looking after a single guy, and the single guy wants to see me every day. I can't see him every day. Now it feels like I'm not looking after him.
Yeah.
That's not really true. My kids are more important than you, so be clear of that. I definitely do want to give you time, but this is the time that I can give you. If you want literally to chat to someone daily, I would suggest you take someone who doesn't have children. Or I'm definitely able to give you this, because I would love to, and can obviously be in touch on the phone, but I can't see you every day. So again, spoken through. If you and I now speak through all of that, and we give it time, and we include other people, and we think, we pray, we work through it, and 6 months down the line, you're just not committed to the relationship, then I think I'm well within my rights to bow out gracefully and say, hey, James, man, really appreciate you. Thank you for the time. I just feel like there's a need for a change for me. Now, I've seen people do that, but then they never make the change, meaning they say goodbye to James, but never hello to someone else.
They disappear into the abyss.
Yes. And then if you find out, hey, so have you been able to connect up with someone else? No, we're already thinking, praying, weeks roll by, the months roll by, we're thinking, praying, we're sort of talking to so-and-so, which, again, is a whole different set of issues.
Yes. And look, I think that ownership point, which is on the agenda here, you know, I think it is an important one, because Yoda might be a good person to have an agenda for me, because they are all knowing and they're the what have you. But essentially, in humility, I want God to work in my life. And if I am discipled by person X and I come to them with my list of things that I'm working on and my list of questions that I don't have answers for, and I don't expect you to have answers for all of them either, but here's what I'm thinking. And do you have any suggestions who I can ask? And there's a healthy accountability as I own my own spiritual growth. That is the grace bubble where God, I think, can do amazing things, as opposed to not being in that space, not owning, not being humble, and then finding it weird that I feel opposed by God, and I feel like things aren't working, and I'm not growing, and I'm stuck in my faith, and now all of a sudden it's because we don't sing the right songs in church, or because the sermon was too long, or... And so, yeah, I think there's something there on that ownership point that's also crucial and intertwined with all of this.
It is. I would say it's even beyond crucial and intertwined, because it is ultimately it's the essence of everything.
Yeah.
And again, I can't remember if we said it in the last podcast or I had this conversation with you or someone else. But the idea of the dude at the well, that the angel comes, stirs the well, and then this invalid was lying there for 38 years, and he somehow never managed to be the first guy in the pool and be healed. And Jesus asked him this question, do you want to get well?
Yeah.
And I think that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Do I want to get well? Do I want to be like Jesus? Do I want to be a part of his new world? Do I want to be new creation? Not, I think we sometimes view our discipling partner, I definitely do think that they should serve as a listening ear and helpful, but we sometimes view them as we go to them with all of our complaints, and that this is my time where I go and dump everything on them. That is. I don't view that as the. That certainly is a small part of it. But the question is, do I want to get well? We spoke about it 2 weeks ago. We're actually supposed to be heading somewhere. Do I have the desire to be like Jesus? Do I have the desire to expand the garden and bear his image into it? I'm not saying it's easy. The question is, do I have the desire? Do I feel called upon? Do I, that passage in Ecclesiastes that says, God has set eternity in our hearts. So God places something in our hearts. He's wanting to work in our hearts. Do I want to work along with him? That is 99% of the deal. Because if I do, now I'm taking ownership and I'm saying, sure, I need someone in my life to do it. And when I come to you, it's my privilege to come to you, not my right. And as I come to you in this privileged position, then I want to use the time as fruitfully as I can, because there's so much happening in my world. I mean, any given day when I just sit in the mornings I reflect before I read my Bible, and pray sort of previous day and accountability questions that I have for myself, whatever. But the list is long. What I mean is, if I look at my day, I think, sure, I could have certainly been more like Jesus over there. And this is not a guilt trip. Oh, I wasn't like Jesus. Now I'm saved, not saved. It's not about that. It's no, I want to be like Jesus. I just picture, what would our world be like if we were more like Jesus, if the garden were to be expanded? So that is ultimately the big question. Is it what I want? Do you want to get well?
That's hectic, because I think, I mean, I was chatting to someone recently, and we were talking about the whole idea of, also you mentioned kind of discipling relationship, not just being a place where I dump all my bad stuff. And there's this idea of, you know, now that I've dumped it all on you, you can hold all my problems.
Yes.
And I can
feel
better.
I feel so much better.
Exactly. And I do think there's a time and a place for that within any friendship and relationship.
Yes, so totally.
I'm not against that. But there's a big difference between I'm dumping all my problems on you as someone who doesn't want to get well, not willing to own and not willing to fight to be an image bearer. I just need relief from the pain that I'm feeling in my heart. And I do think that, again, there's possibly a need for counseling. There's a great many, you know, if you're in that space, I do think you need help. I'm not saying, but I think discipling, it's not just that. It's a partnership that leads towards a better place spiritually, and bearing that image. And it's, yeah, I think it's God's got to be at the center of all of this.
Totally. It is. As discipling partners, we are not psychologists. Mm. And we're not even counselors. What I mean trained counselors. That's not, and we've never given ourselves out as that. Not,
yeah.
I have never, as being in the full-time ministry all these years, I don't give myself out as a counselor. Yeah. Because people have even sometimes said to me, hey, can you maybe help my aunt or my uncle? They knocking heads in marriage. Can you help them? And I can't.
Yeah.
I can only help people that has a desire to be like Jesus
yeah.
and has the Bible as their standard, because
yeah.
that's the reference point for me. That yeah. is what I am trained at. That's what I can work with. I don't know, and I can be a listening ear, but I'm not a trained counselor, and let alone the rest of the members. So I'm not talking about not just people that are hired in or working in the full-time ministry, but we're not trained counselors.
Yeah.
And sometimes people, I mean, this is a whole different conversation, but actually needs a trained counselor or psychologist to help them work through very difficult things that I don't necessarily want to go in now. But I mean, it could be trauma, it could be disappointment, it could be grief. And that's not what we're talking about here when we're talking about a healthy discipling relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about a healthy discipling relationship is someone that's going to help me to grow into the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that would obviously form a part of it, but I think there's more counseling needed for those things.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get better at making sure that where people have experience with good counselors, that we can refer people to counselors, and that people can get the help that they need. And I am a total believer in counselors, good counselors, good psychologists. I've seen it help tons of people through my life. Incredibly helpful for them to work through things. But again, that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a healthy discipling relationship.
Yeah. 100%. Well, look, for the purposes of time, I know we wanted to talk a little bit about relationship, and the reality is, I think everything we've spoken about has got relationship, as a foundation. And I think as we talk about some more points next week, I think relationship will come up as well. So let's, as a concept, let's maybe pick up next time. But I think, some important points, and hopefully, if you have been listening to the sermons, which I'm assuming you have, and having these conversations with your own discipling partners, hopefully these points are helpful.
And I want to, in the kindest way that I can, just ask people that are listening, please speak to your discipling partner and ask them these things on how we've moved so far. Ask them with, hey, do they feel like we're consistent? Ask them, hey, do you feel like I'm taking ownership? If so, why would you even say so? If not, why would you say so? And what would ownership look like? And then, although we've not been able to talk about relationship now, we'll do it next time, is to ask on that, how's it going with our relationship with regards to those three things that we spoke of? Is there sincere interest in each other's lives? Is there vulnerability, and is there investment? And unpack. I just want to be clear on investment, but we'll. Everyone cannot be best friends. We just don't have the capacity for every person to be best friends with every other person, but what that could potentially look like. But pray for this is helpful, and I hope that we can dig in and do the work in the engine room and experience the fruit of the cruiser.
Indeed. Amen. Thanks, Bud. Thanks for the time.
Thanks,
everyone. We'll see you soon.
Cheers. Bye-bye.